the church in these days is indifferent to the mystery and the place of Israel. And again, Israel is going to be the central factor of God's end time activity in the earth. I believe we are now living in days where God is going to raise up Jewish men to speak into the church world the reality of God's heart toward Israel. Because again, we said it before and it can never be overemphasized. The focal point of God's activity in these end days will be Israel.
Jesus, the most influential Jew who ever lived, and who has brought more people into the knowledge of God, the God of Israel, than any other human being who's ever lived.
This is Faith Roots Radio, a ministry of good news for Israel. The Bible tells us that in the last days, Israel will play an important role in the return of Jesus Christ, and that the roots of the church begin with the Jewish Messiah. Today, our program will bring you insights from this perspective. For resource information, contact faithrootsradio.org. And now, today's program.
Shalom, friends. Chris Hebe, Good News for Israel, Faith Roots Radio. Well, I hope you're prepared to listen again to June and Shelley Volk from Phoenix, Arizona. And they had a phenomenal testimony last week. And we're now going to get into some teachings about their experience over the last 40 years of having a congregation and speaking all over the world about Israel and the Jewish people. I love to tell people, when I was in college, I used to drive a delivery truck for Napa Car Parts, and I used to keep track of the church marquees. You know, that's the sign out in front that has the church hours and usually some kind of little message. And the vast majority of them over the years would have something from Romans in there, but almost nothing ever from Romans 9:1-1, Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. But people, I teach them that these are so ultra critical to understand God's heart in regard to the Jewish people, and his teaching is so important for especially these last days that we're living in. So June and Shelley, I know that you have an exorbitant amount of teachings on in regard to this.
Well, I think what you're indicating, Chris, is really true, and it's underscored by the fact that we're living in the end of the days. Romans 9, 10, and 11 are crucial chapters for every believer to read and ask for revelation, because in these end days, in this final stage of the end days, God's focal point is going to be Israel, and the church in these days is indifferent to the mystery and the place of Israel. And again, Israel is going to be the central factor of God's end-time activity in the earth.
And isn't it interesting, Shelley, that in Romans 1, it took a Jewish rabbi who was saved from Saul to Paul. In 1:1, we read, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, that here at the beginning was a Jewish apostle. And what was he called to do? We see in verse 5 in Romans 1, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. So Paul, as a Jew, was going to bring out the obedience of the faith to the Gentiles.
That's right.
And there was no New Testament, Shelley. And it's amazing that the faith remains the same, only one faith, one God, one baptism. So here at the beginning, the Lord used a Jewish man to bring in the nations, bring in the Goyim, the Gentiles. And now in Romans 9, 10, and 11, this Jewish man is expounding of the importance of the Gentiles, the church,
Amen.
To bring in Israel and the Jews.
That's right. I think so many former Gentiles who are now Christian really don't realize it, but Jesus did not come to start another religion, but he came to complete what was written in the Old Testament. And if you take away the Old Testament, there is no foundation for the new to understand the new. And we see one of the great disillusionments, one of the great deceptions in the earth today, And Junie and I have been in New Zealand and Australia twice in the last 2 years, and we see it even to the uttermost parts of the earth. This theology of replacement theology, which states that Israel has had their opportunity, we rejected Jesus, and of course, as a whole, our people have rejected Jesus, and therefore, God is finished with Israel, and all the promises that God has given to Israel are now part of the church's history, you might say. In other words, they are the new Israel of God.
And you know, Shelley, that's where the problem with understanding the Palestinian state of Israel even comes into play. That if the promises that God gave through the covenants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which was the covenant of the land and the promise and the people, if that people believe is no longer in existence, then you can understand why even Christians think that the Arabs should have or the Palestinians should have their own state, not understanding that God gave a covenant, which was his promise, which is eternal to a people.
So really, Romans 9, 10, and 11 is such a key. And I really believe that just as there came a time during the time called the Reformation, when the just shall live by faith became a reality. It was in the scriptures all the time, but somehow the mystery of that didn't come forth until the Reformation. I believe we are now living in days where God is going to raise up Jewish men to speak into the church world the reality of God's heart toward Israel. Because again, we said it before and it can never be overemphasized. The focal point of God's activity in these end days will be Israel. And if this is so dear to the heart of God, it should be equally as dear to the heart of the church. Because in reality, Israel and the church are the only natural representations here on earth. And according to the book of Ephesians, we've been made one new man. Positionally, it's true, but as yet it hasn't happened. And I would challenge every listener, when was the last time you heard a message, if you ever did, from Romans 9, 10, and 11? Or even go to the book of Ephesians. I just opened my Bible, and in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hand. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ." Everybody can agree with that. "Strangers to the covenants of promise." Everybody can agree with that. "Having no hope." Everybody knows that's true. "And without God in the world." In other words, they're Gentiles. But included in that thing that they were separated from, it also says you were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Now that Gentiles have become believers, they have become part of the commonwealth of Israel. The Gentiles are called wild olive branches grafted into the olive tree, and the natural branches are the Jewish people. The wild branches are the Gentiles coming in to the root, which is holy. And the root is, of course, Jesus. It's the heritage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's the formation of that end-time church that's going to be glorious when they're used to come to their fullness, as it says in Romans 11:25. And here's the thing about our Jewish people. They can't do it on their own. And their salvation is going to be totally a work of God, because the Word of God says there's a partial blindness on the eyes of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And many people think fullness is determined by a certain number, and it very well might be. But when you look at the word fullness in the New Testament, it always speaks of a quality. And when the church comes to its fullness, when the church becomes the church that Jesus is going to build, and they come to that fullness, it says in the very next verse, "And thus all Israel shall be saved." The issue of Israel is an issue that's going to be clearly seen in the last age, because Jesus cannot come back until our Jewish people say, "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai," blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
And you know, Shelley, we see in Romans 10, verses 13 and 14, something very important. We see, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And in Romans 14, it says, how then will they, Israel, call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And in 15, how will they preach unless they are sent? Mm. Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And so the church is called to bring the good news to Israel.
It really is. Well, you're in Romans. I go back to Ephesians, June, so it's really interesting.
Okay.
But we need to pray the prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus and for all those who have a heart, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. The more we know of the Lord, the more we're going to know of his heart. And the more we know of the heart of God, we're going to understand his understanding of Israel and God's end time purposes, that the church is going to be used mightily in the salvation of Israel.
And here I am in Romans, and here's what it says in Romans 10:19, I will make you jealous by that a people that is not a nation without understanding will I anger you. Has the church, has the Gentile nations, the goyim, who really know the Lord, made Israel jealous? And has there been a heart like Paul's heart to weep, like Jesus wept over Jerusalem, because there was a plan that God had and Jesus knew what that plan would be, that every stone would be brought down. There wouldn't be a stone left in the city. There wouldn't be a people's left to cry out to the Lord, and yet there is a promise that there will be a people left to cry out to the Lord. And so the church is really called to cry out to God for a heart for the people. And you know, Shelley, Jesus being King of the Jews, can you imagine a king like the King of England, having the whole world acknowledge him as the King of England, love him, respect him, and serve him, except the Brits, the British people, his own very special people? And that would be the heart of the nations to see, to pray for the Brits to see their king naturally. How much more than spiritually should we, who know the Lord, have a heart for the Jewish people to cry out for them, for God to open up their eyes, that they would see Jesus as the Messiah, which will bring him back to earth according to the scriptures.
Okay, we've been listening to Shelley and June Volk talk about how critical it is to understand the book of Romans, especially chapters 9, 10, 11. We'll be right back with Faith Roots. Well, I have one of the hottest books on the planet in front of me. It's June Volk's book called The God Who Answers by Fire, A Jewish Saga. This is the one that she starts off with telling her story and the Lord coming to her bedroom. It's 300 and some pages of, I want to say there's like 30 short stories in here with some great pictures. It's a fantastic book. I've given it as gifts on numerous occasions, and people have said they can't put it down. They burn through it in a weekend, and then they end up ordering more to give to their friends and family. So it's called The God Who Answers by Fire by June Volk. You can get that at our bookstore. You can call us at 952-926-7369. That's 952-926-7369. It's a great book, a great gift. Shalom. Okay, Shelley wanted to take us to Australia or New Zealand right before the break. Is that where we're going?
Let's go to Australia and New Zealand. That when we were there, the primary thrust of the messages, and whether they were big churches or little Bible studies, was God's heart toward Israel And it's incredible that so often we would hear comments such as, how come nobody ever told us these things? Where have we been? How come we don't know this? Because I believe it's a ploy of the enemy. Because if Satan can keep the church from understanding the reciprocal relationship between Israel and the church, and God's call upon the church to provoke our Jewish people to jealousy, not just in word only, as Junie spoke before, as you know, to evangelize them, but the manner of life.
Amen.
And God wants to raise up a certain people in this day and age. Let me go back, if I can, to the book of Esther for 1 minute. And I believe that phrase, a certain people, just stays in my heart. And you remember the story of Esther, when this Jewish girl became queen in Persia. And of course, Persia, which is modern-day Iran, through Haman, wanted to cast out and destroy all the Jewish people. So when Haman went to the king to have an edict signed, he said this: there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws, so it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. This is a prophetic picture. This is a picture of Satan in the end days wanting to wipe out the Jewish people from the face of the earth so that Jesus cannot return, so that Satan can keep ruling, be the prince of the air. Well, that's not going to happen. But God is looking for a certain people. And that certain people is going to be the end time church, the church that's going to be filled to the fullness, that will bring forth redemption to Israel. And to point out, it says, their laws are different from those of all other people. And most often, the word law in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word Torah, T-O-R-A-H, which refers to the Ten Commandments, the 613 commandments that our Jewish people live by, the first five books of Moses. But here it's a different word. The word here is dot. If we spelled it phonetically, it would be D-A-W-T. And while it has some connotation of commandment, the primary meaning of this word dot is a manner of life. So while we're talking about Israel, the church is vitally connected to the end-time purposes of God for Israel, because their manner of life is going to be different from all other people's manner of life. That's going to so provoke our Jewish people to jealousy that when they're dispersed throughout the earth in the time of tribulation, known for our Jewish people as the time of Jacob's trouble, they're going to seek refuge. And that refuge is going to be found with truly born-again, spirit-filled believers who are that certain people who could bring our harden Jewish people's hearts, to be softened, take away and put the heart of flesh, right, rather than have a heart of stone. And they're going to hear the gospel. And then when Jesus returns to earth to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem, we'll see the fulfillment of the scripture from Isaiah when it says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come a singing unto Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads. Why? Because in the places of refuge that they seek, they will see a certain people called Gentile believers as well as Jewish believers scattered all over the world that will lead them to salvation, and Israel shall be redeemed.
And that's why the verse that you read, Shelley, in Ephesians is so important for the listeners to pray, that they would be given a spirit of wisdom,
yes,
and
yes,
revelation,
yes,
in the knowledge of God. Because to know God is really to know his heart.
Amen.
And he has a heart for Israel, and he has a heart for the church. And there is a reciprocal relationship for a certain kind of people, for God's glory to be seen, because he's a light to lighten the Gentiles. Jesus,
amen,
is the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of our people, Israel.
And you know, the Gentiles are very happy because he is a light to lighten the Gentiles, but he can't be a light to lighten the Gentiles unless we see him as the glory,
amen,
of our people, Israel. You cannot separate it. So just like he's the lion and the lamb, he's the light to lighten the Gentiles, but he's also the glory of thy people, Israel. And isn't it interesting, Junie, when we were talking about Romans 9, 10, and 11, the very last verse in Romans 11 says, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who is first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. When Israel is saved, the church comes to its fullness, and Israel is saved. Jesus returns to the earth to establish his kingdom, and it says, to him be the glory forever. The redemption of Israel is an incredible demonstration of God's glory that will bring redemption to the nation, and Israel will then be able to fulfill their ultimate call to be a blessing to all nations.
And the church is both Jew and Gentile being one. When we talk about Israel now, we're talking about
yes.
an unsaved nation and people that are yet to be redeemed. And that's why it's so important to see that just like there are the lost that the church reaches out to and has cried out to and evangelized in the nations for 2,000 years, what has been missed? The only nation where the scriptures say to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the one nation that has been missed, and I think it's because of the theology that in the end the church won't be here, only Israel mm-hmm. will be, that is such an error, which then
yes.
doesn't give God's heart to the church for Israel. So I just hope that our sharing is an appeal for you to pray and ask the Lord for his heart
yes.
for his people and for this nation, Israel, where he says, he calls Israel my land.
Amen.
That's the only land in the earth.
You're right. You know, and the crisis of Israel can really be looked upon as God's provision to wake up the church from
yes.
their sleep and from its escapist mentality
yes.
and its unpreparedness. We are living in an age of preparation.
Yes.
Preparation for the soon coming return of the Lord. And just as it was a zeal and a cry out of the heart of the first century church for the return of the Lord, we need to live with that expectancy, with that expectation. And he cannot come back until our Jewish people say, blessed is he, comes in the name of the Lord, and the church has that responsibility to come out of its slumber, come to its fullness, and be used by God in a reciprocal relation to our unbelieving Jewish people so that the kingdom of God can come and be established in its fullness right here on earth.
Amen and amen to that, Brother Shelley and Aunt June, Sister June. We've had a great time listening to you guys, and we really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys whenever that's possible, and I am actually jealous of you guys all winter long when it's 70 degrees down there in Arizona and it's 50 below up here. But you guys lived up here for a long time, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Again, thank you very much, Shelley and June Volk. Well, as you heard from Shelley and June, Romans 9:10-11 are critical chapters to understanding the Christian Bible. A great mentor of mine and friends of Shelley and June, Derek Prince, used to call Romans the Christian Constitution, 16 power-packed chapters. Romans 1 had a huge impact on the Reformation. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther used Romans 1:17, that it was by faith, by grace, that totally changed his life, and that was the scripture that caused the Reformation. Romans 1:16, Paul makes a great case that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. It was the power of salvation to the Jew first. So Romans is so critical, and if you've ever been in Romans Bible studies, a lot of times they kind of skip over or skim over Romans chapters 9, 10, 11, especially Romans chapter 11. If you read and study Romans chapter 11, it will change your heart and mind on where God has Israel in the call of things, in the plan of things. Paul makes a great case from Romans 11:1 that God has not rejected the Jewish people. It's impossible because he's from the seed of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. And he makes a great case in Romans 11:25 that the church should not be ignorant of the mystery in regard to Israel and the Jewish people. Well, as you know, the time we're living in, Israel is by far the most controversial nation in the world, by far the most talked about nation at the United Nations. The world cannot get enough of dealing with Israel. So it obviously has a critical role in the salvation plan of God. You need to read it. You need to study it. And if you do, it will change your attitude and your theology. So thanks a lot for listening. Contact us at gnfi.org. That's gnfi.org. Thanks a lot for listening. Please pray for us. Shalom.
Faith Roots Radio is a ministry of Good News for Israel, the oldest outreach to the Jewish community in North America. This program is a listener-supported ministry and depends on your generosity. Please consider adding us to your charitable giving this week. You can give securely online at faithrootsradio.org. That's faithrootsradio.org. Or call our office at 866-937-4634. That's 866-937-4634. We'll be back next week with another program, and we look forward to hearing from you.